Everybody to Juwanza for Life. My name is Juwanza. Thank you so much for tuning in. Etepu, everyone, and thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. Again, happy solstice, everyone. We are in the third day of the winter solstice, and I certainly hope that everybody is doing their observances as you started out to do. I mean, sometimes we make the declarations, and hopefully everybody is sticking to it. You're doing your meditations and, you know, following the dietary plan and, you know, doing everything that you know to do to be successful. This is the time of year where we're planting seeds, and we want to make sure that we have a successful observance so that we can live successful lives. I've got a special show lined up for you. As you know, I started off yesterday's show. I interviewed Dr. Orwa Hehimetaran Comet, and I mentioned that that was the last show of the year. Well, actually, it was the almost last show of the year. This is going to be the last of the year, and I can't think of a better way to end it in this year with the guests that I have today. We'll start off by, I'm just going to allow everybody, if you're just tuning in, some people know who this is. There are people who might be tuning in for the first time who might not be familiar with my special guest today. I got two special guests. One is Orwat Enen Tachasara and Comet, and also Ankara Amenhotep. And again, I'm going to let Orwat introduce herself. Okay, I can't even do the honors. This sister is so powerful. She gets the honor. She gets to introduce herself. Okay, so welcome, Juwanza for Life. So much for agreeing to be my guest.
Well, thank you so much for the opportunity to come on and to share with your audience. My person is called Orwat Enen Tachasara and Comet. That's a Comet name, which was bestowed upon me by Shekemeshekemram Nefarmin, King and Chief Priest of the Osiriset Society International, which I've been a member of since 1975. And in 1987, my person was installed as one of the Queen Mothers of Osiriset Society International, Washington, D.C., Virginia, Maryland region. So during that time, I have been called to counsel others and on various subjects, and I have counseled people in terms of male-female relationships, marriage, pregnancy, childbearing, women and family health concerns, as well as other issues that are important to our community. And it is my philosophy that our ancestors weathered many storms so that their children of African heritage might enjoy the fruits of their labor. So there's a lot of knowledge at our disposal and advantageous convenience that we take for granted. So the signs of our time should not be ignored. People of African heritage must take charge fearlessly and be more serious and sincere about establishing spiritually and culturally strong nuclear family units, willing to work together with those of like mind, not only to pay tribute to the legacy of our ancestors, but to ensure the survival of African spirituality and culture. There's an African proverb, when spider webs unite, they can tie up a lion. So my person over the past 40 years have been using meditation, homeopathy, and other traditional methods of balancing and healing for my person, my family, and my friends. So, you know, this is a great opportunity, again, to share with your audience and to be back together with my brother, Ankara Amenhotep. This is just a great thing to do on the solstice. The solstice is about solidifying those things that I just spoke about.
Mm-hmm. Wow, well, it's truly an honor to have you back with me. I've had the opportunity of interviewing you once before, and I know that the listeners are in for a treat. You know, it's my first opportunity interviewing Brother Ankara Amenhotep, and for those who might not know who he is, I don't know how you wouldn't when you hear what I'm going to share with you concerning our brother. Man, he's done a lot, and you might know him from MTV or Bad Boy Entertainment. He's a celebrity vocal coach, a vocal instructor and talent judge, a musical and vocal director, a singer, a songwriter, musician. He's a producer, an artist development consultant, and a music educator. And I guarantee you that when you hear our brother speak today, as well as with our sister, T'Chansa Rhine comment, that you will not forget either of these special guests today. Brother Ankara, welcome to Juwanza for Life. It's a pleasure to have an opportunity to speak with you today, my brother.
Thank you, Brother Juwanza. It is a pleasure, and I'm feeling blessed on this solstice to be on the Blog Talk Radio with you in Uduwat and then T'Chansa Rhine. So interesting that the music that you're getting ready to showcase was, you know, a project that we came together and did. And I'm just blessed to use and expand my musical talent in, you know, a lot of different areas, and to also be able to uplift people spiritually with the music.
You know, whenever I interview people, I always like to delve just a bit into the origins of what got them started on the particular path that they'll be sharing with me on that particular show. And since we're going to be talking about music today, and I want to get into different aspects of music, the healing aspects of music, the potential healing aspects of music as well. But I'd like to know what got you started, you know, and start with you, Orowat. I mean, you have a lovely voice, and when, you know, I talk to people again who, you know, go down a particular path, and now, I mean, your talents had led you to a point where you actually were on a project with Ankara Amenhotep, and you created a CD, you know, titled It's Kwanzaa Time. But where did it all begin for you as far as singing, and was creating a CD and recording a long, long dream of yours?
Is that for Orwat? Me, or?
That was for Orwat. Okay, Orwat, if you're there, okay, let's see. Maybe we dropped Orwat. Let's see here. Orwat. Okay, let me see something here. Bear with me, everybody. Orwat, I'm going to just try to call her. Maybe the phone drop. Let's see. So much for your patience. We're going to get Orwat
back.
I'm
sorry. We got cut off.
There you are. Okay.
Yes,
did you hear
I'm
my
here.
Question? Okay. Did you hear my question?
You asked something about the origin.
Yes. Where got you started singing? I mean, I always like to find out when we are speaking to people about whatever the topic is that we're bringing them on the air about, what actually got them started. Was recording, I mean, it culminated for you with a CD titled It's Kwanzaa Time that you and Maati Sa did, was produced by Ankara Amenhotep. Was singing and recording actually something that you had long envisioned yourself doing? Was that something that you had always wanted to do, was to record? And where did this all begin for you, the singing?
Well, the singing began as many, many black people of my era in church. I was in the church choir. I was in the school choir all through high school. I was in the citywide choir in high school. And then I went to college, and it wasn't a black HBCU, but we had a gospel choir. And so, you know, I'd just been singing, and then I was a part of a singing group, which Dr. Kakai and my person and Dr. Orwa had a singing group called Seeds of a New Day. But never had the opportunity really to record. I always hear songs in my head and hear lyrics in my head. And so, you know, I've had many songs over the years, and, you know, one particular Kwanzaa song I had for a long, long time, and it just, you know, the lyrics for the solstice song started coming actually at Unc Ra's home. I was there visiting, and it just, the lyrics came. And so, no, recording wasn't always on my agenda. However, it became important to me, in particular with the solstice, to really work to spread the message. So even though it's called, the CD is called It's Kwanzaa Time, people are familiar with Kwanzaa. They know quite a bit about Kwanzaa, but perhaps not about the solstice. So the idea at that point was to, you know, give them Kwanzaa, but also enlighten people about what the solstice is about. So there's three tracks, one explaining the solstice, and the solstice song, which you played the instrumental part to earlier, and also a poem about the solstice, are all on the Kwanzaa CD with several Kwanzaa songs as well. So, like I said, I had a Kwanzaa song that I've had for a long time that, you know, Unc Ra just blew it out the water. It didn't sound anything like what it sounded like when I first started singing it. And also another sister who wasn't available, I would have asked her to be with me, but Shekin Sucha Satinieb was also on the CD, and she is a songwriter, singer as well. And so it was just the time was just right. It was perfect timing. Unc Ra was available because he's a really busy person, but we've known each other a really long time. We go way back. So, you know, he made himself available, and we just came together, and it was just a beautiful experience.
Brother Unc Ra, you know, if you could speak on that just a bit, you know, she just, her last words were, it came together and it was a beautiful experience. When you, and I know you've probably seen it 1,000 times, you start off, she mentioned that, you know, she had an idea, she had a song, and by the time you were finished with it, it wasn't anything like what she had begun or what she had started or had the envision of, but then probably seen that 1,000,000 times, you know, producing and that, and then you, people's talent, and then you add your magic to it, and before you know it, you've come up with this track, and it just blows people away. I mean, how did you get started? And then I'd like you to speak to that, but 'cause I always find it amazing when you hear music that it just seems like it was made in heaven, you know. It just blends together the harmonies, the music. I mean, so I'd like you to touch on that. But before we go there, how did you get started?
Nanchasra, I started in church also. And I really didn't want to sing in church. My mother made me be a part of the choir. I told her, and I can just remember, this is when I was 7 years old, so it's about 50-some years ago, and I told her, I said, you know, I'm not going to have time to play with my friends on Saturday because rehearsal was on Saturdays. She said, well, too bad. this is what you're doing. So I started in church. I stayed in church for about maybe 20 years. I started with the gospel choir in a Baptist church in the Bronx, and then my family moved to Queens, and I started a 25-voice community choir. That was the first, my first opportunity to musically direct and to also, you know, like creatively direct, like to write all the songs at 15. So it was really great. And then after that, I did smaller groups and then did a band and recorded and, you know, and did a whole bunch of other things. One of the things that we have known each other for almost 35 years. So I always knew that she wanted to do this. She would always, you know, say little things, and I'd say, "All right, we're gonna do it." And then she sent me the Kwanzaa song, and I said, "Okay, let's do it." I had produced a Kwanzaa tape when cassettes were out.
yes, you did.
And that's about what 20 years ago. I had produced a Kwanzaa tape that had three or four Kwanzaa songs, and then my wife had written and taped and recorded a Kwanzaa story. So when Uduwa told me that she wanted to do a Kwanzaa CD, I was all for it. I was really ready for it. And when she sent me the music and when she sent me her reference, her vocal reference for the Solstice song, man, that was it, like you said, it was just heavenly. I mean, the lyric starts out like, "Our ancestors knew the truth. They knew just what to do. Our ancestors were were scientists of the spirit."
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as a musician and as a spiritual person, my job as a creator is to create something that's going to hold and almost be the musical foundation of the song. So I had to meditate. I meditated, and then you just let God come through. You let Spirit come through, and you tweak along the way. You know, it didn't come through perfectly, but I was tweaking. I was sending her things. She was sending me things in terms of. And then when we got together, it was magic. It was absolutely magic. Absolutely magic.
Agreed.
Because
we didn't have a lot of time together.
When you have talented people working together, it's so much easier to create magic. And it's clear that the people that were singing on this CD, the voices were, it sounds as though you all had sung together for a long time just because of the harmonies. You know, it just like everybody knew what the other person's part was supposed to be. You know, it just seemed so perfect. The other ladies that were singing along with you, were they, I guess, had you all been singing together for a while or what?
Well, on the Kwanzaa songs, one of them, as I said, Hexum Suheru's daughter, Amora Menkoum, we had not collaborated together before when we did the Solstice song, just she and I on the Solstice song. So that was our first collaboration. But on the Kwanzaa songs, her mother, I had actually been singing with her mother for some time, for quite a long time. And, you know, not only did we sing songs of this nature, but we sang some, you know, other spiritual type songs that we got just by, you know, connecting, meditating, et cetera. So, you know, she, as I said, she's also a songwriter. So the first song on the CD is a song that she wrote with another sister. So, yes, she and I have been singing, you know, on and off together for quite some time. But her daughter, you know, just came in there at, with her, you know, youth and really brought in some very, very positive energy. And, again, I was very blessed to have her be able to work with me on that solstice song, Ancestors Magic.
And Brother Juwanza, this was the first time that they were in the recording studio.
Oh, my God.
So not only have, you know, had the music come through them and they were rehearsing, but this was the first, the very first time that they were, that they recorded in the studio.
That's hard to tell. I believe it because you say it, but it's just, you wouldn't know it. You wouldn't know it by listening, that's for sure.
Well, because it's, you know, it's the spirit. It's the spirit that came in the room, and they, you know, they had musical, they had some musical experience before, and what do I, and then Chas Raj, she rehearsed with them in Washington D.C., so they were prepared. There is a difference in the studio. I mean, it's a little different than performance, but you still have to perform. You still have to, you know, be in the story of the song and be in the spirit of the song.
Mm-hmm. Well, have to say this, that you, Ankara Amenhotep, knows how to bring that out as well because he is definitely a professional at his craft. And all of us who have any kind of talent, it's God-given. I mean, we have to give thanks and praise to the Supreme Being because this is, you know, why I sing. This is why I sing, to uplift, as Ankara said in the beginning, you know, we need music that is uplifting. There is so much media out there right now that is, you know, really just bringing people down. The energy is, you know, not helping people to transcend, you know, the negativity that's out here, their fears, their worries, their anger, and all of those things do not assist us in our growth and development because that's why we're here. We're here to grow spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
We're here, as you say in the beginning, to become Osir. And Osir is just meaning that we all have divine qualities, not the same quantity as a Supreme Being, but those divine qualities are there, and we have to bring them out. We need to nurture them. We need to promote them. We need to advocate for anything that is going to help us to realize that divine presence and express that divine presence in the things that we're doing day to day. So music is something that people, it helps people to do the things that they do from day to day. So Ankara has a CD called Higher Consciousness, and he, you know, he doesn't know how much I wore that CD out.
Well, I have a new one coming out, Uduwad, Brother Juwanza. It's called Answer the Call, and I've been working on it for maybe about 4 years. So in 2018, I will
you will answer the call.
I will answer the call.
Could you talk about just the approach to making uplifting music? You know, when, I mean, because obviously from your bio, you know, you've worked with a lot of people. You've worked, you know, MTV, the Bad Boy, you know, in different venues. But when you're making spiritual music, when you're making music that's meant to uplift and to raise people's consciousness and raise people's awareness, in an industry that might not be open so much to that. Everything's about the next hit. You know, is it a hit? You know, is it a hit record? And oftentimes, conscious music, for lack of a better term, might not get as much airplay as, you know, music that's geared and targeted towards the lower self, you know. So
mm-hmm.
Could you talk about that, just the approach to making consciously uplifting music and the trade-off that might be involved in that?
Well, you know, Brother Juwanza and Uduwad, I think that I think that it's in the lyric and it's in your intention. You know, the music is similar. You know, when you're trying to uplift people, you want to give them music that they are that would easily allow them to hear the lyric, because it's the lyric that is going to affect how you see things or how you perceive things or how you think about things. So what I have done in my writing career is to always use some of the commercial sounds that are already successful and have just changed the lyric. It's the lyric and it's the intention of the person. Do you want to uplift people or do you want to, you know, keep people in the darkness? So it's really your intention. And, you know, and gospel music has gone through a lot of different genres just in terms of uplifting people from that perspective. So there is a model, because there are some people in industry that did well, like the Sounds of Blackness did well. Kirk Franklin did well. You know, and I would say that because we're either in the Age of Aquarius or moving in the Age of Aquarius, you can see the shift in gospel music, and everything is becoming more universal. Mm-hmm. And so I think people are, you know, really ready to hear uplifting music and uplifting things. And that has been my approach, to use the commercial sounds that are already available and to change the lyrics.
You know, I agree with you concerning the people being ready, you know, for the uplifting music. I mean, because it seems like every time somebody comes out with a new artist comes out and they have a spiritual slant to their music, it appeals to a certain segment. Erykah Badu, when she first came out, I mean, you know, she had the whole, you know, the whole Ankh thing, you know, mm-hmm. going on, and, you know, very spiritual, and, you know, people were gravitating towards that. A lot of spiritual people were gravitating towards that back in the 70s, mm-hmm. Earth, Wind, and Fire. You know, people didn't really know what they were into. Really, you know, we saw the pyramids on the album covers, and, you know, we knew they were into yoga and meditation and mysticism and world religion, as Maurice White said on his song, you know. But, you know, and we danced to the music, you know, and but they were different, but you could tell there was something about them that was dealing with a higher consciousness. And I think that may have even opened that group, speaking of Earth, Wind, and Fire, may have even opened the door towards a lot of people, even looking at Kemet. Even I think they were very instrumental in even having people looking that way. Either of your thoughts on that?
Well, I would say definitely, and I just wanted to add to your last question, is that you also have to be on the path of developing your own spirit, and I think that is crucial as a creator of spiritual music, that it is crucial that you be on the path to develop your own spirit and to raise your own spirit, because there is a connection between you raising your spirit and what you create or what comes through you. So, and I definitely think that Earth, Wind, and Fire was the catalyst for, you know, spiritually commercial music being acceptable. Definitely. And Stevie Wonder, and like you said, Erykah Badu and India Arie, and, you know, all of these spiritually minded musicians. And, you know, it's interesting that everybody's here to develop their spirit. So when you hear it, you're gonna feel something.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what you do with it is up to you, but you're going to feel something, because that's what you're here for.
Or what? Could you talk for a moment just about the need for, you kind of touched on it for more music and the impact of music on the minds of our people, you know, because we're constantly being programmed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're constantly being programmed, whether it's through the television, whether it's through the music, you know, in whatever way we can be programmed, you know, we're being programmed. I actually talked about that a bit last night. But music is so powerful. I mean, we're singing from the time we're in the crib, we're singing, we're learning nursery rhymes, you know,
mm-hmm.
we're hearing. You know what I'm saying? So could you talk for a moment just about the need for there to be even more conscious people, for lack of a better word, or spiritually minded people to create spiritually uplifting music,
mm-hmm.
because music can transform and it can heal.
Well, it's interesting that you would mention, you know, we're doing it from nursery rhymes, and that's another project that I have in my mind, and I have songs written down for children, because when you are a child and you're young, you're soaking up everything, you're imitating everything, and you need to know as a child that you are not limited to, you know, you're in an earthly body, in an earthly existence, but as I said before, you have divine qualities that can help to, that you must develop, that you must acknowledge, and can help to propel you to be a better member of your family, a better member of your community, and the society at large. And that's what we need to reinforce here, because there are so many things that are distracting our youth and, you know, impacting families in a way that is very unproductive. So, yes, it's so important that, as Angkor Amenhotep said, that the music be something that is going to, you know, promote and foster, you know, our acknowledgement of the divine presence within. And so how do we do that when your music is, you know, actually profane? You know, how are you fostering that? How are you nurturing that? And unfortunately, children, you know, hear all kinds of things in their homes, and they need to be able to hear something that says you are a divine person. You are an uplifted person. You're a great person, and your heritage is great, and you need to tap into that and utilize that and know that, you know, you have something to contribute to the world. And they won't know those things if what they're hearing and what they're listening to is telling them the opposite of that. You know, so if our young ladies are being called out of their name, then that's how they're going to respond and act, you know. And that there's a lot of that going on, and it's specifically designed to, you know, impact our communities in a way that it does.
Ankara, your thoughts?
Well, what about Nenchasra? I'm looking forward to that project.
Okay.
It's so interesting that every song that I learned at 7 or 8 or 9, I can remember all the lyrics and the melodies. So music is really powerful. It really stays within your memory bank. So
yeah.
The power of music to change and to heal and to guide and to direct people in a particular way is really powerful. And children are just like, you know, they're just like open vessels, and so I think it's imperative. I think that it's really necessary to have music that inspires them to be all that they could be, and it's so interesting because every time I look at and when I see daycare children, and I wonder if they're you know, if there are songs that are really programming them to believe that they're geniuses, that they're great, that they're divine, that they're that everything is a possibility. And so I'm really looking forward to that project, Uduwat and Enchas Ra, because the children are the future. They really are the future. And we can affect that future with the power of music, for sure.
Yeah, there are so many, many avenues that can be used when you have children. You know, you have so many ways that they can be influenced. So, like you said, you remember songs, and I have to date myself. And you never know when it's going to pop up.
Absolutely.
You just don't know when it's going to pop up in your spirit. And now the other day, I was remembering as a child watching TV and watching Howdy Doody. I don't know if anybody knows about Howdy Doody now, because I'm dating myself very much. But then I realized I remembered the song. It's Howdy Doody time, and I was
It's Howdy Doody time.
You know it too.
I know the song.
I was why? Why is that popping up in my spirit? And that's because it got ingrained when I was a child.
Absolutely.
And I sat there on Saturday morning watching it and hearing it. I mean, fortunately, I mean that was, I don't know, I guess Howdy Doody was a clown. I don't even know what he was, but it wasn't. I mean, they weren't so deleterious as they are now. I mean, the characters now and the songs now, the children that are here, you know, their young ears are hearing and their young spirits are having to, you know, they're kind of sort of being assaulted.
Yeah. I mean, and I wonder what children are listening to. Are they listening to these adult songs that their mothers and fathers could be, and sisters and brothers could be playing? It's to me, it's terrible. It's just really terrible, and it does sound like abuse, Uduwa and Brother Juwanza, from a spiritual perspective.
Yeah,
you know what's interesting to me, and I'd like your thoughts on this, and maybe it's just me, but. And I kind of cringe every time I see it, you know. And I understand that, you know, when you got to use whatever tools that are available to you to, you know, help kids to learn, okay. But to feel like it's necessary for, let's say, for example, a child that cannot learn, or I won't say cannot learn math, but is struggling with math or whatever the curriculum is, and to feel like you have to wrap it. In order for them to get it, you know, in order for them to get it, you got to put it in a rap song. This is not a knock against rap. You know, I've listened to rap. I like some of it, you know, but to feel like that this is the only way that we can teach our kids is to, you know, get a human beatbox and, you know what I mean, and start spitting rhymes, you know, for the kid to learn. Before rap, what was that? I mean, people were going to college. I mean, graduating. You had people, the brothers and sisters with PhDs. I mean, before rap. I mean, so is it just me, or is it maybe that's just a pet peeve of mine? Either of you feel that we've kind of boxed ourselves in when it comes to teaching our children, because there are other ways that you can open up a child's mind. You know, using tools like meditation and so forth. But to feel like, you know, you just gotta spit rhymes at a kid, and that's the only way that they'll get it. You know, hey, maybe it's just me, but I'd like you all's thoughts on it.
Well, I think that rap is a musical genre that can be used in a lot of different ways. I think that, you know, I think that rap gets a bad rap, and some of it is bad, just in terms of, you know, the negative lyrics and intentions. But, you know, a lot of black people learn visually. There's different ways of learning. And I realized that I was more of a visual learner right now because of my musical talent. I was more of a visual right side brain learner. So to me, I think that if you can use a genre that's going to help somebody learn better, then more power, because the child will get it. I think that the main thing is making sure the child learns what you want them to learn. And so the vehicle of rap is fine. I think that, again, because rap gets such a, is, you know, the lyrics are so bad right now that you just have to watch, you know, how you use it. And, that, you know, that's how I feel
well,
about it.
I would say that I comprehend where you're coming from, Brother Juwanza, in terms of, you know, people just kind of taking that avenue and making it a, you know, I guess some people have embraced it to the point where they make it seem as if that's the way to get it done, or that is the way. I would say that there are multiple ways. That could be one way that someone might, someone's spirit might catch on to the information better. But people are different. It's all different. Have as Ankh Ross said, that he's a visual learner. I would say I'm more of a visual right side learner as well. And so there are different ways that you can make music to influence people. So rap is one way. There may be other types of musical means that you can influence a child or even an adult to learn something in a better way. There's classical music that can influence and help people to learn. So it just may depend on the person. It may also depend on the person who is creating the music and putting it out there. Some people have a talent for certain types of music, more a greater talent for certain types of music than other types. So I would say, you know, it could go both ways. It really depends on the situation, depends on the person. But to say that that is the way, and, you know, it probably has been promoted and used, you know, just as a one-stop means, you know, one-stop shop for getting this information over, wherein different people may be able to learn better with another way. But I wouldn't, you know, say that it's not viable. It just depends.
I believe that. I believe that it has its place. I just, like you said, you know, when it's presented like it's a one, this is the way. Okay, nobody, they're all failing. Okay, bring a rapper in here. Let's, you know, let's get the human beatbox going. They'll get it, and they might get it. You know, that, believe it or not, and I know that the goal is them getting it. I mean, them passing the test, them internalizing the information, digesting the information, understanding the information. I got it, you know, but I don't know. Maybe I just felt like, you know, just the way this presented, like if it's a one, like you mentioned, a one-stop thing, okay, like if the child's not getting it, let's spit some rhymes at them and not even consider meditation. You know, let's spit some rhymes at them and not even consider Qigong. You know, let's not even look at their organ meridian system and see if there's anything that needs to be done. And let's not even consider whether their liver qi is low or anything. You know what I'm saying? It's just that there are other avenues.
But, you know, Brother Juwanza, a lot of people don't have that information. They just do not. They have not been exposed to that level of information. So...
yeah, good point. That's true. Yeah.
So they need to listen to your show.
Absolutely.
They'll get
it. The people are, yeah, somebody wants to talk. Y'all ready to take some calls?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to call the last four digits of your number, please. If I call the last four digits of your number, because sometimes people press one and then move away from the phone. So, please, I'm going to call the last four digits of your phone number, and then I'm going to bring you on, and you can talk with my special guest today. All right? 5353. You're on the air with Horwath Enen, Tchacharan Comet, and Ankh Ra Aminatab. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello. You're on the air. Hello. Okay. Now, somebody else wants.
They may have accidentally pressed one.
All right. 6834. 6834, you're on the air with my special guest, Orwat Inintatasa Ryan Chambert and Angra Amenhotep. Welcome.
Peace and blessings. How are you?
Great.
Peace
and blessings to you. Thank you.
All is well. I was actually, I haven't been on too long, but I was listening to the background of both speakers, guest speakers, and coming from the church background, my father is a pastor, and I was the praise and worship leader, and I actually have been hesitant on putting music out there because I had that, I once had that fear of, you know, everyone that knew me as the praise and worship leader singing about Jesus and, you know, different stories of the Bible now coming out sounding like NDRE or Erykah Badu. So I, you know, what advice would you give to those people who literally have the talent, know that they have the talent, know that they had that God gave them that gift, but they hold back because of fear of, you know, their music not being heard or the truth not being heard? What advice would you give to those people when it comes to, you know, just letting it out, you know, what needs to be let out?
Well, I mean, I would say, first of all, check your intention. Check, are you interested in doing spiritually uplifting music? Is
yes.
that your intention?
Yes.
Okay, so, you know, it's interesting today with the internet and all the technological advances. You can create your music almost in your own, you know, your own studio or someone's studio, and put it on the internet. I mean, today we're with Brother Jawanza on his blog radio show on the internet. So I would suggest to you to forge ahead and push through your fears and get started. Really, you know, and do it song by song.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do the whole project. Just do it song, because this is a singles market right now in terms of the music business. Like, people don't put out LPs or albums like they used to, and
mm-hmm.
so I would suggest that you get started, and that you complete. And that you complete the whole project. But start with one song first and go through the process.
Okay. Thank
and
you.
I would say, too, I just want to add that, you know, you said you have a particular background and you had some concerns about, you know, what other people would think about you putting out what you put out. But
right.
what you said to was that God gave you this talent.
Mm.
And if you know that God is involved in what you are doing, then you're not going to go wrong. If you keep that premise, if you keep however you pray, however you meditate, however you connect with that divine part of your spirit, then that will help to see you through. Keep that connection alive.
Right. Thank you.
Amen.
You. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
I'm going to go back to this other call just to make sure that they hadn't just stepped away from the call. Okay, so 5353. You're on the air, 5353.
I found out on Wednesday.
It's an accident. They pressed it by accident. You know, when I look at the youth, or the not even youth, but young people. And you mentioned it, Brother Angra, about they're the future and that they're going to be the ones moving the music forward. It's so needed, and there's a market out here for spiritual groups, or spiritual singers. I mean, because you take a group, for example, I'll just use the Holly Girls. And in Chancellor, are you familiar with them, I'm sure? The Holly Girls.
Oh, yeah. Yes, yes.
I saw them do a Osea chant. I mean, it was an Osea chant. And I was like,
mm-hmm.
wow, there's got to be a market out here for people who would buy a CD of chants. You know what I mean? and not just chants, but, you know, CDs of music that is spiritually uplifting. Of course, styles change, times change, you know, but as Brother Ankhra said, he keeps the music part relevant, you know, to the time. So it's going to, there could be a commercial a slant to the music. But when I look at a group, say, like the Holly Girls or whatever, they're wholesome in a way that there are, you know, that would be appealing to young people out here that are trying to live right, you know, that are, you know, because in the absence of a group, say, like the Holly Girls or other groups like that, then they're left with what's available, you know, and they kind of gravitate to what's there. I mean, and if, for example, you're only given, to use a food analogy, if you're only given steak and potatoes, then that's what you're going to eat, you know, if that's all you're given. So, you know, I agree that there is, with Brother Ankhra, that there, the young people are going to be moving the music forward, or the music, and in the music, the consciousness forward. Are you familiar with the Holly Girls, by the way, Brother Ankhra?
I am not familiar, no.
Okay, well, okay. They grew up in Osirisset in D.C., and their parents, they moved to California. They're actually going to be around here for Kwanzaa. But they actually, you know, have all the knowledge about the chants, and they, you know, have been exposed to African spirituality. And so that's, you know, probably why they chose to put that up there. But their, you know, their parents also were raised in and around the Osirian tradition. So that's kind of why they're here. But, you know, Ankhra, we can definitely connect you with them because they are about doing righteous music.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think I know their father and their mother and their grandparents, right? Yeah.
Yeah, you probably know the father and the mom for sure.
Right. Oh, okay.
Definitely.
Well, the other,
their,
you
dad
know what,
is called Obi, Brother Obi.
Yes, of course, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, only I bring them up because they, again, when you look at young people that look, that mm-hmm. they need models to pattern themselves after, or even, because you do, people are, you know, there are people claim, oh, I'm not a role model, I mean, but people do look at the celebrities, you know. Of course, you had mm-hmm. Charles Barkley said, I'm not a role model. But you might not claim that, but people do look at you. Now, of course, this is a good opportunity to talk about the 11 laws as a role model, you know, because although we're talking about music being able to infuse spirituality and precepts and concepts such as and principles such as the 11 laws into music as a model, so that people can look at, gauge, and monitor their behavior, you know, based upon a set of values that is meant to and proven to, you know, modify behavior for the better. Either of you can respond to that.
Well, I would start off by saying it's, you know, the 11 laws are the foundation. It's Ma'at, which is the foundation of the laws of the Supreme Being. And, you know, Ma'at is about showing us that when we love that divine aspect of being, then we, you know, show our love for God, then that is what helps us to actually demonstrate our love for others. And so we need to bring this into the world. This has to come into the world. And if, how are we going to bring it into the world unless we cultivate our persons, unless we cultivate our spirit, unless we, you know, let go of the animal qualities that pervade the society, you know, the anger, the fear, the worry, the, you know, the fighting and all the stuff that goes on. We have to transcend that. We have to transcend that aspect of our being. As I said, we're in these earthly bodies and we're born into this earthly existence, but we have divine qualities that need to be nurtured and need to be cultivated. And so the 11 laws assist us to cultivate that divine presence. So just from the beginning, the most fundamental law is Amen, and that lets us understand that peace is our true nature. Peace is the fundamental, the foundation of our existence, and we are needing to embrace that and learn how to express that no matter what is going on. And then the second law of Osir, the oneness of all life, the unity of all life, that there can't be anything against us as if we are one with all. So, you know, the 11 laws assist us to involve our persons with our own spiritual growth and development by understanding that these are fundamental laws of our spirit and that they were given to us so that we could utilize them to elevate and enlighten our person so that we can be that for others.
Brother Angra, how, when you are creating music and with the knowledge that you have concerning the teachings of the Osir Set Society, the comedic teachings, the principles, and, you know, you're in an industry that really, I mean, in this society, you know, the industry is just, an outgrowth of the society. So if the society doesn't necessarily value the, you know, the righteous way, for lack of a better term, or the spiritual path, in an industry that really promotes the opposite, you know, of spirituality. How do you see it coming along? I mean, you know, from your perspective, with the information that you have and, you know, with the eyes that you see with, how do you see it, the future? How do you see the future of music, not just music in general, but I'll say, you know, R&B or lack of a better term, black music or music that our people tend to gravitate towards? Are you hopeful that, you know, when you look at the young people today that are going to be carrying the music forward, the message in the music, because there will be a message in the music, whether it's a positive one or a negative one, how do you see that message when you look at the young people today that are making the music, and are you hopeful?
Yeah, I am, Brother Juwanza and Oduwad, I am very hopeful, very, very hopeful. Just thinking about our journey as vegans, Oduwad and I don't know how long she's been a vegan, but I've been a vegan 40 years. When I first came to Osir Set Society, to the society, and at that point, 40 years ago, the only thing that you could buy in a supermarket was the fruits and vegetables. And now, 40 years hence, supermarkets have full-blown health sections. So, you know, things are happening. People are expanding. Consciousness is expanding. I think that we are in the middle of a black conscious revolution. You see more black women with natural hair. I really think that we're in a resurgence of black consciousness and spiritual consciousness. So it's, you know, it really is just one artist that would do spiritual music and blow up and everybody will start doing it. It's just about when it becomes successful, then people will start doing it. And I think it's coming. And just to chime in on the 11 laws, just think about how that would affect our community if if people just embrace the first law, peace is our true nature, and what effect, what positive effect it would have in our communities. I am very, very hopeful, because the music business is about what's successful, and so God can bring something through and make it successful, and everybody will jump on it. And to me, that's happening in the health field in terms of vegans, and it's happening in the spiritual fields. I was in the supermarket about maybe a year ago, and one of the brothers was talking about the Medina Tear. And you know what I'm saying? So with the internet, there are so many things that we don't see, that we can't say it's not happening. It is really happening because the information is out there. And I think that we just have to keep the information in the airwaves and keep creating positive music and keep inspiring people to create positive music and
right.
keep living a spiritual life.
That's right. You can't, you know, you shouldn't give up because it's, you know, it's the signs, as he said, are there to maintain the optimism about where people's minds are at, where people are, you know, there, as he said, a lot more people are vegan than used to be. And a lot of times I go places now, I see more black people in the vegan places.
That's right.
and then, you know, there's another example. I mean, at one time when I was coming up, dating myself again, but you didn't have to wear a seatbelt. You did not.
Mm-hmm.
You did not have to wear a seatbelt. And it became a law.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when my youngest son, my oldest son was born, didn't have to do that. You know, but now it's automatic. So there's something in the larger, you know, population that will, and again, I would say we as a people are the innovators. We are the
Absolutely.
People who advance these things. You know, they want to say that everybody is not knowledgeable, but even people who are living in some of the most difficult circumstances are knowledgeable. You know, may not realize it, but they are. And they're willing to, you know, make certain sacrifices so that righteousness can prevail.
Mm-hmm.
So I totally agree with Ankh Ra Menhotep, and I'm glad you asked that question because, you know, the industry is what it is right now, but there, as he said, there's so many different avenues now that people can, you know, promote what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And, I, you know, there was a time when, you know, you say Africa and somebody would, you know, say that T word,
mm-hmm.
you know, who made that awful sound out of his mouth. But now it's not like that at all. I put up a Kwanzaa table at work, and people really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
You know, you just had a couple people who were misunderstanding that it was not anything against their belief that people celebrate Christmas and Kwanzaa too, you know, because it's after Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, again, it's about teaching. You know, a lot of times people need to be educated. They need to be taught. And you bring up the 11 laws. I have one of those songs, too.
All right.
Looking forward.
It's all
looking
about
forward.
The 11 laws.
Hey, the calls keep coming in. Let's take another one, okay? I'm going to call the last four digits of your number, 2067. 2067, you're on the air with Ankh Ra and Intachasara and Comet and Ankh Ra Menhotep. Welcome.
Hetepu.
Hello. Hello, this is Akuya Shastitya, Jawanza's wife. How are you?
How? Hetepu. How are you?
I'm fine. I just wanted to just say thank you both so much for the collaboration of coming together and producing the CD, and I'm really enjoying the show, and even what you're speaking about, maybe future CDs for the children. It's really, really needed. Jawanza introduced me to the CD. He said, Aquia, you need to listen to this. And when I heard it, I said, yes, this is what I was looking for. My spirit immediately registered to the music. It's so beautiful. It's so positive. And we definitely need more music like that and more songs and lyrics that will uplift our spirit like that. So I just wanted to say thank you so much, and please continue to come together and produce more beautiful music like this.
You are welcome, and thank you.
Thank you so much. Yes, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your call. Thank you for calling in, babe. Look, anybody else got a question? All you have to do is press 1, and I can bring you on, and you can speak with a special guest for the evening. I just want to thank you both again for, you know, all of the work that you've done, all of the years that you have rendered to our people, you know, with positivity, you know, for all of the counseling that you've done, or what, for, you know, all of the teaching, for all of the listening, you know, that you've done for our people, and everything that you've done that, you know, a lot of times people do things that we don't even know, but they do them on our, you know. And so for the things that we don't know that you've done, you know, I thank you for those things. And the same for you, my brother, Ankara.
Thank you.
Again, the music that you put out, the music, the advice that you gave the young lady that even called in today, just being in your position, you can affect, you know, even the music that our people hear. That's a positive, powerful position to be in. I mean, and even as a creator of music, to be, and to have that God-given talent to be able to create positive music for us to listen to, like the CD. Again, powerful, powerful music, beautiful music, powerful lyrics. You know, just thank you, my brother, for all of the work that you've done and the role that you play in helping us to move ahead spiritually. Thank you, my brother.
Thank you, and you're welcome. Yeah, it's a labor of love, and it is connected to our destiny. It is connected to our destinies. So, you know, I have accepted the challenge of creating spiritually infused and inspired music, and it is definitely a labor of love. Absolutely.
Yes, well, I can't wait to hear your new CD.
So I'm looking at a March release, and so Jawanza, I'll send you a copy, and otherwise, of course, I'll send you a couple of copies.
Oh, yes.
Okay, phone numbers keep coming in. They're trying to catch you before you leave. Okay, 060696, you're on the air. Thank you so much. Welcome.
Hello, greetings, everyone. And that's Rock Odawat, and then Charles Ra, Head to Pool.
All right,
everyone, this is Nehrud Amin.
How are you?
good. Thank you guys for such an inspiring show. Brother Jawanza, I appreciate it. I'm really motivated, and I'm looking at what more I can do around music, and especially for children, spiritual music. But I have a question. I know, Ankh Ra, you mentioned your music is being released in March, but what about all the other music you all mentioned? Where can I buy it, and when?
You know, what we can do is I can give you my email address, and
okay,
we can correspond through the email address, and I can make sure that you're able to purchase some of the music that we have produced.
Okay.
And then there's the Kwanzaa CD can be which has the solstice music on it. Jawanza, do you have that information there?
Yes, I do. www.cdbaby.com/M another /CD, and then another /, and Maatisa. That's M like Maat, A-A-T like Tahuti, I-S-A. Again, so I'll repeat it slowly, www.cdbaby.com myaunt.com/M, as in my aunt, another /CD, another / my auntisa, and that's M as in my aunt, A-A-T as in Tahuti, I-S-A. That's how you can get it. You can order it or purchase it on CD Baby.
And Juwanza, can I give my email?
Please do.
Yeah, it's Unk, A-N-K-H-R-A-A-M-E-N @yahoo.com. Unk Ra Amen @yahoo.com.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you
looking
all.
Looking forward.
Thank you so much.
All right, thanks for tuning in.
You're welcome.
By the way, I want to let everybody know that you can follow the show so that you're updated every time that we do a show. You'll be notified, and all you have to do is follow the show on Blog Talk, again, so that every time there's a show, you won't miss it. We've got shows with priests and priestesses from the Osiriset Society. I mean, starting at the top with the chief, King of Kings of the Osiriset Society, Dr. Rahu Nefa Amen. We've got shows with him in the archives. Okay, we've done shows with him on Waeb. We've done shows with him on Meduna Ter, Volume 7. I mean, we've done shows with him on Stress Free for Life. I mean, they're all in the archives. We've done shows with Dr. Orr Wahehi Mentoran Comet. Just interviewed him last night. And as a matter of fact, and we've got shows with him on the 11 Laws of God. If you're not sure what the 11 Laws of God are, then follow the show, okay? And then all of those shows are in the archives. We've done shows on the Asante model, okay? We've done shows on the I Ching. We've done shows on so many different, on his book, you know, the kingship, the Asante kingship, on his book. I mean, we've done shows on his other book, on African names. I mean, all of these shows are in the archives. Other priests and priestesses, Hexem Suheru, Shekameh Abneter is in the archives. I mean, just so many people. There's just too many to name. You know, you just got to follow the show, okay? But we are in the winter solstice, so I have to mention these next two shows, okay? You've got to listen to the show that we did with Shekem Songtaku Nenebu on the winter solstice, and you've got to listen to the show that we did with, the name escapes me right now, and I don't know why, because I was just thinking about this just then, because he did such a powerful show the other day on meditation is not just for behavioral, it's not just for relaxation, I'm sorry, but meditation is not just for relaxation. Who was that I did that show with just the other day?
Shekinah Petra Hemat.
Thank you. Thank you. Right on the tip of my tongue. Yes, you have to listen to that show, okay, because we're in the winter solstice, and you've got to listen to the show because it really breaks down meditation, why we need to meditate, and just that whole process is going to play such a vital role in you having a successful winter solstice observance. So I apologize to Shekem and Hetra for her name escaping my mouth at that moment. But, yeah, you have to go back and listen to that show. That show played, that meditation plays such a vital role in that. Everybody, I hope you're enjoying your observance. I also want to have an announcement to make that on tomorrow, okay? I'm sorry. No, that wasn't tomorrow. That was today. Okay, so that's already been going on, so let me not announce that. But we do have, coming up in January, Dr. Ruby Lathan has got her Re-Energize Your Life Holistic Health Summit. The Re-Engineer Your Life Holistic Health Summit, that's on January the 27th, 2018, and that's going to be at 3600 John N. McCormick Drive, and that's in Northeast Washington, D.C., okay, this is the fourth year of her doing that. If you all know Dr. Lathan, then you know you got to make it to that. That's, again, January the 20th. That's at 3600 John McCormick Drive in Northeast Washington. If you need to MapQuest it, it's 20017. They're going to be keynote addresses. They're going to be a free yoga morning class, free giveaways, plant-based complimentary breakfast and lunch. So you want to make sure that you check that out. And for more information on that, you want to go to www.myhealthsummit.com. Again, that's www.myhealthsummit.com. To my special guest today, I want to thank you so much. I just want to give everybody one last chance. If you want to say hi even to Orwat or my other special guest, Ankara Amenhotep, all you have to do is just press 1. Okay. Otherwise, I want to thank you both for such an awesome, awesome show. And again, I encourage everybody, you want to purchase this CD, stick around. I want you to hear the instrumental version of the song. I want to entice you. You want to hear the lyric version, you got to buy it. Okay, and I guarantee you, it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. Trust me, it's going to be worth it. I was blown away when I heard it. I've been listening to it all day long, and I encourage you to get it, because as we float off into the night after this interview, I want to encourage everybody to close your eyes as you're listening to this song. Okay, I just encourage you. I want you to close your eyes when you're listening to this song as we go off the air. Any parting words from either of you, or what? And Ankara, thank you so much for being my guest. Any parting words from you tonight?
I would just like to inspire everyone to take their gifts and offer them to the world. You know, I think everybody has something special to give to the world, and we get an opportunity to offer it to the world. I don't think we should wait for anyone else to do it. I think that use your God-given gifts to inspire and uplift the world. That's my parting thought. Yes.
Well, my parting thought is that we're still in the throes of the winter solstice. And it's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the most important time of the year to sow those seeds for what goals you need to achieve in the coming cycle. And that you take this time over the next 2 days to solidify that, or actually, you know, you have the 24th is tomorrow, so you have the rest of this evening and tomorrow. And then, you know, the 12 days of the Epiphany, whatever you have, seeds you sown, you need to water and nurture and weed and continue up until the vernal equinox, the spring equinox, when you will soon start to manifest the product of the seeds that you've sown. But the summer solstice is where you will really entrench these things, and in the summer is when all of this will manifest. So, you know, you're at the time. The 25th is the birth of the light. As a matter of fact, you know, you have very long nights right now and short days. And now on the 25th, the days will start being longer again, slowly, gradually. And so that's how your plant will be. You will slowly and gradually grow as long as you nurture it. So take this time to meditate and be at peace, and if nothing else, to see yourself and others at peace in the midst of the greatest adversity, and understand that you can maintain your peace no matter what is going on, and that will assist you to address and find solutions to any difficult situation. I want to thank Juwanza for Life, and his lovely wife for, you know, all that you do to bring the knowledge and the spirit of our ancestral traditions for health and well-being for all of the people that you serve. It's a great job. It's a great blessing to all of us. And just keep it up.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. And it's easy for me to do when I see the work that you do and the members in the society do. It's like I have to spread it. I have to, you know, and each show is asking the question, who am I? I'm the one who in giving receives more, you know. So, you know, it's with that in mind that I give, you know, because the world needs it. The world needs to hear your message. The world needs to hear Ankh Ra's music and Ankh Ra's message in his music, you know. And so with that in mind, it's why I do what I do. And I want to encourage everybody again. I know this is the solstice, and during this solstice, you want to feed your spirit with positive images, positive sounds, positive messages. And so I invite you to, if you're not already following this show, Juwanza for Life, I invite you to follow it. Again, as I mentioned, you have ample food, you know, positive food, uplifting spiritual food to listen to that's going to aid you in your growth and development into the divine beings that we were destined to be. And so with that, I just want to say Anetra Rock to Orwat and into Chasarine, Comet, Brother Ankh Ra, awesome information that you shared with us, my brother, and I would love to have you back as a guest. My airwaves are open to you as well, brother. If you've got any projects going on that you want the community to be made aware of, please contact me and we can make it happen.
Well, thank you, brother, and thank you for the opportunity.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, Harak Etapu.
Anishwarat.
All right. Everybody, now you ready? I want you to close your eyes, okay? I'm going to play a song from the CD that was produced by Ankh Ra Amenhotep and performed by Ma'ati Sa with Orwat and into Chasarine in Comet. I want you to close your eyes as we drift off into the night and just imagine what the lyrics to this song could be, okay? also known as the Solstice Song. It's called Ancestor. I'm sorry.
Ancestor's Magic.
Ancestor's Magic, that's right. And you're going to feel the Ancestor's Magic as you listen. So everybody, close your eyes, take a deep breath, and listen. Who am I? The ones that I'm the one who in giving receives more. Who are you? Etapu.
Etapu.
Thank you. Are you ready to take a journey within? Know that peace is your true nature. Peace.